unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect dharma is really met with even in 100,000 million kalpas, having been to see and listen to remember and respect. I vow to take some truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're right, we're right. No, I'm fine, thank you. I think it's all right in terms of the screening. But welcome to the, I didn't look it up, the something 18th practice period. We'll have a ceremony at the time of evening service, and we'll chant Dogen's practice vow, the Ehe Koso Hotsuban Om, to remind ourselves. And this practice period, the theme is Dogen and his Bendo Wa. All the lectures will be about Bendo Wa, and the class will be more supplemental material. A lot of visual stuff too, a movie and some parts of a symposium on Dogen, and we'll spend a class looking at some of his poetry. But Bendo Wa, Ben Uchiyama and Okamura both say that apparently there are two different ways of interpreting the word Ben, and one is about discriminating between right and wrong, and so some people say Ben is about seeing the right way to practice, something like that, distinguishing it from the wrong way. However, they both feel that it's the other meaning of Ben that is implicated here, and that one means to put your whole energy into something, doing one thing completely is doing everything. And so I don't know exactly what word Uchiyama used. He may have just used Ben, but Okamura and Taigen Dan Leighton use the word wholehearted to translate the Ben part, wholehearted. And Do is way, and it's short for Butsudo, the Buddha way. So it's wholeheartedly doing the Buddha way. And Wa is a talk or a story. So that's why they call it a talk on the wholehearted practice of the way. So I wanted to read a little bit. When Dogen Zenji uses this word Do, it's an abbreviation of Butsudo, Buddha way. That means Buddha's enlightenment or the truth to which Buddha awakened. It also means the day-to-day practice based on, according to reality or truth. That's called the way of Buddha or the way taught by Buddha. So in a sense, Buddha way or Butsudo is the way to Buddha or to become a Buddha. Also, it means the way Buddha walked. So we follow the way that Buddhas and ancestors walked. All Buddhas and ancestors walked the same way. And that how each one walked, of course, is very unique. Each person has a different way, different style, different kind of expression through their activities or characteristics. So we're all walking the way, but we walk it. But it's the same Buddha way. Now, of course, he goes on to say in the Bendo Wa that the key is Zazen, Jiju Zanmai, which we'll talk about another time. In my blog, I think I wrote something about jump into it. And I think Kelly said something similar in his a few days before. So that's what we're doing. We're taking a whole day. It's a very slow jump, We're taking a whole day to jump into this practice period to support us to jump into Buddha's way. And everybody jumps differently. There was a book of photographs of people jumping, as I recall, in the 60s or something. Somebody went around the world and just took pictures of all these people jumping, including the, I don't know. I want to say the Queen of England, but I don't think I got that. So probably, but people, you know, people on the street and people sort of implausible that you wouldn't expect to see jumping. I think it was last week that, a week ago, Liam raised a question about, so what is completely doing half, using half mind? And I said, it's doing what you can do right then, completely, fully aware. And if all you can do right then is halfway, then do halfway. But commit to it as much as you can. It just occurs to me that maybe there's a 12-step phrase, fake it till you make it. Act as if. And see if one day you turn around and say, oh, I actually mean it. How about that? I'm not sure that the ancient teacher said, you know, do half of it wholeheartedly, they meant to fake it. But I think it could feel like that. At any rate, wholeheartedly as you can. So if it's half, use all of the half. This time with this talk on wholehearted practice of the way, this is a precious time. We only do it once a year. And it refreshes us for the whole year. And I thought it would be useful to take a few minutes to just sit quietly and reflect on what is your intention for this time. What is it? You can say what you want to work on if you like, but beyond that, what is? How do you intend to use these few weeks? What's your whatever-hearted commitment to yourself and the practice and the Buddha way for this time? So let's just sit zazen, just sit with that question, reflect on it for 5 minutes.
Well, my intention is to pay attention. My intention is to pay attention to like how I feel before I, like when I'm getting frustrated or when I want to give somebody a hug or when I feel like I want to buy something. Like just what's going on there? And then what do you do next? But the intention is just to not just rush through life, but kind of stop for a moment and see what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
My intention is to be open to my own limitations. Investigate without negativity, but with humility, until maybe that limitation becomes expansion. So I'm recently being very aware of my implicit biases toward many things. So I have been sizing myself up way bigger, but I don't want to also size myself down too much. I just want to be what I am, but it's challenging, so I want to work on that.
Okay.
My intention is to make an effort to wholeheartedly not try so hard all the time. A friend of mine has Parkinson's, and people are hovering around her all the time now as she gets more symptomatic. And her husband asked her, "Joe, what is it that I can do for you?" And she said, "Well, you could keep your mouth shut." And I feel sometimes, in an effort to be compassionate and helpful, I'm not. I'm intrusive or over attentive. So I just want to pay attention to that need in myself to always be the one to be the helper.
Kelly?
You know, it's really funny because I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, well, where kind of am I at in my practice? And the phrase that actually came to mind was, I'm faking it till I make it. That actually was the phrase. So when you said it today, I was like, yeah, that's where I am right now. I'm faking it till I make it. And I think my intention for this practice period is to remain open to the possibility of making it, to not shut that potential off. I think that's kind of what I got.
Gabby?
Hi, everyone. I have the intention to be more in silence, to give myself that space and to not have the news on or all the time, the latest lecture, but to leave myself the opportunity to self-reflect and to just see what, or just be and see what happens. And I'm sort of thinking also, just to really, now that I'm more and more of an age, getting up there, to really just try to find my true me and my values, and even more so, not be so pushed and pulled by the forces out around me and others' values, but see really what rings golden true for me. So to wake up to my own life more than ever, if possible. Thank you.
Well, my intention is supposed to continue sitting twice a day, which I'm already finding really helpful. And to work on patience, and I noticed certain situations driving, which I was having yesterday. I'm feeling really stressed, and I'm doing a good job to be more patient with myself, because I haven't really considered it in those terms before.
I used to be really allergic to talking about follow your heart's desire, but I find myself really wanting to, that word sort of speaks to me now, that I want to listen to my heart more. And I guess I thought of it as a Hallmarky thing. So it's just beginning to feel like, well, actually, it's not Hallmark, but I really do have a heart. And that's what I want to listen to, my, you know, what's going on in here. And seems like it connects with other people more than I thought it would, strangely, but not so strangely.
I want to slow down. I mean to slow down, stay here, and enjoy this time with Mr. Dukin. Sometimes seems an odd word to use in relation to him, because in reading the fascicle Ango, that was the first time I ever noticed him make a joke. I don't know if you remember, is that it was a talk, Ongo, the festival is basically a talk at the end of a practice period, an Ongo. And he says, you know, for many of you, this has been a really deepening time and useful and so on. And probably, and I'm sure that for some of you, it's been really terrible and you feel like you wasted your time and it was tremendously intrusive and just awful. So come on, give me back the money. And he does another one towards the end. I can't remember what is that one. He says, come on, I want the time back. It's the only time I have ever read or seen anything like a joke from him. Maybe he meant it. But I don't get that much done, but I feel like I'm running all the time. So just a chance to be quiet and sitting twice a day, at least on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays when there's evening zazen, and then Saturday morning longer, at least two periods. I find it, that quiet permeates me, and I settle, and I open to whatever we're studying. And I don't know how much of the Bendo Wa you've read, but it's the actual talk is relatively short. I mean, this book is a long introduction, the talk itself, 18 questions and answers, and then Uchiyama's commentary. So this little book is a lot more than just the Bendo Wa, though the questions and answers are included on purpose. You know, they're meant to be part of the teaching, because I'm sure that there were other talks he gave where there were questions and answers, but you don't see them in the fascicles. But for whatever reason, he and or Ajo felt that including the questions and answers was useful. It was Ajo who wrote down most of this stuff. He's in the list of ancestors, he's the first one after Dogen, Kon Ajo, Ejo. And the next one after that is Tetsu Gikai. And he's the one who Dogen refused to transmit because he said he didn't have enough grand parental mind. So Ajo eventually transmitted them. But Ajo wrote these things down. So we'll read the whole Bendo Wa, including the questions and answers. Some of them are pretty simple and some of them are not. So I find in practice period, as the time goes on, I just settle into it if I will allow myself to. It's not always easy to let go of all of the concerns of daily life, even though they're often not, it's not necessary to be concerned about a lot of the things that I'm concerned about. And I'm sure that's true of varying degrees, at any rate, for all of us. And the more I sit, the easier it is for me to not get enmeshed. Do not look at the news feed on my iPhone. Do not follow some clickbait on Facebook. To just sit quietly, not just when I'm sitting zazen, but other times. It really is a fruit of practice, that quiet that's available to us, if we let it be. The first time I was really conscious of that difference, so it was at Green Gulch. I used to hike up the hill above the Green Gulch. There's a little sort of a cabin up there. It has a name which I'm managing to forget. I think it was named after the wife of the guy who donated it to the land to Zen Center. The kind of place she used to spend some time. It was way up at the top of the hill, and now they, well, I don't know now, but for a while there, at any rate, they fixed it up and they rented it out sometimes. So you can't just go meander and sit down in front of that hut and look out over your beach and so on. But he used to be able to do that. So it was after a sesshin, I think, I took a bag lunch and I hiked up there and sat on this little wooden bench in front of the hut, looking out to the west. And I noticed that my body felt different. I noticed the quiet, that I could just sit there. I didn't need to start eating my lunch. I didn't need to worry about something. It was just quiet, that my whole body, but also my whole mind just was quiet, just relaxed, and it was fine. It was delightful to just sit still. And I don't know about you, I don't think I'm that unusual. It's easy for me to forget that quiet is available to me. Anytime it's available to me, it's easy for me to forget it. And that caught up in busy life. So wholehearted is really important to me, wholehearted practice. For these 7 weeks to really give myself over to it. And I know that I will lapse, that I will follow the legal troubles that the former president is in. I think for a lawyer like me, it's gossip. Because I understand, you know, some of the details of it and so on, and the strategy, and it fascinates me that his fancy lawyer that he hired has been sidelined. Because Trump didn't want to follow his advice to, I think, accept reality. Well, that's a confession on my part, that I don't, you know, I need to know what's happening, I suppose, but I don't need to follow it the way I do. Some people follow Meghan Markle. I follow the Trump legal saga. Listening to you this morning and sitting with my own intention, it's useful, huh? Just talking about it, I can feel it. I can feel the quiet. And it does have a lot to do with my heart, because it is my heart's desire. Lisa, we went around, we sat for about 5 minutes, and then we went around and people said kind of what their intention was for this practice period. And we have many, many different answers, from looking at oneself and being honest but not being super critical, opening one's heart, faking it till you make it, lack of clarity about what you really want, finding one's own desire, patience with oneself, slowing down enough to not act impulsively, but to take a moment and notice first. So that's a brief summary. So I'm asking you.
I guess for me, you know, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to participate because I'm just so overwhelmed right now. But I guess for me, it's remembering that this is going on? Like you once said, when I came back from a brief vacation about, and I was talking about the pelicans diving, and you said, well, they're still there. Right? So it's kind of like remembering and keeping, you know, plugging in when I can and remembering that the quiet that you're talking about is still there.
Mm-hmm. You can say it's still here.
Still here. Yeah.
You have any pictures of pelicans around?
I think, you know, the best, because it's more about the motion,
yeah,
lining, so it's almost like I need a video of pelicans.
Yeah. No, they don't dive on demand. I see them all the time on the bay, but they, you know, they usually just gliding, you know, they don't dive on demand.
Yeah.
I watch them like a hawk. I love seeing that, but they don't do it on my behalf. Thanks. So Bendowa, wholehearted Buddha way. Zazen.
Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable, I vow to become it. Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Buddha's gates are boundless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable, I vow to become it. Beings are numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible, I vow to end them. Gates are endless, I vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable, I vow to become it.